So our devotions this past week as we did our Lord's Supper preparation from Ezekiel 36, and we're going to draw that in now as we look at Ezekiel 37. It's one of the better known passages of the Bible. I'm not sure everybody knows it's Ezekiel 37, but if I say them bones, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord, then you know that story very well. Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to read there the first 14 verses. Page 1348 in your pew Bibles. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, say, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Then I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, there was little tongues of fire that rested on each of the disciples' heads, and then they could speak in tongues. And the word there, tongues, means languages. They could speak in different languages. I don't know if any of you have ever taken foreign language in high school, and you had an exam, and you're praying that the Holy Spirit would, at least for that test, give you the opportunity to pass the test. Never happens, does it? But those languages are very important. And today, because it's Pentecost, I thought it might be nice for you to learn a couple of Hebrew words. Really easy, but very important to the text. Ben Hadam. So transliterated into English, it would be Ben Adam, and it would literally mean son of man. Ezekiel is called Ben Hadam, Ben Adam. And like the son of man who he pointed to, Ezekiel suffered. Actually, he suffered a great deal. When Jeremiah prophesies, he sees the destruction of Jerusalem. He's left in Jerusalem waylaid. He's left there. It's a horror. It's a place of jackals and owls. Everything is gone. The temple is gone. But Ezekiel has to experience these things in exile from afar. And you know, on the day that Jerusalem fell and the day that the temple fell, God took his wife. His wife died so that all could see that as it is for the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, it was as if his bride had passed away. And Ezekiel was preaching to people, listening to them complain. They wanted to go back to Israel. They couldn't understand why they, who were the people of Israel, those who lived in the land of Israel, that they were the covenant people, why were they suffering? Some even wanted to go back, and they died. And Ezekiel said, no, you have to live here for 70 years, even as Daniel had prophesied of these great things. And so he constantly had to bring a word to the Israelites, to those of Judah, especially in Jerusalem, that they had earned this consequence. They had violated the Sabbath. They had maltreated the poor. The rich had been very difficult and very sinful. They were not a loving people. They had all kinds of other gods. They remained slaves to these other gods. They didn't live by the grace of Almighty God. And then God said, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, to finish up what the Assyrians had taken care of with the 10 tribes. And Ben-Hadam, the son of man, Ezekiel, had to bring the word of the Lord. And the people were getting down. The people felt as if there was no hope. The people felt that they would never go back to temple again, that they would never go back to church again. And the Messiah had not come. And what about the promises of God? Who was God? Had God forgotten them? And yet God now begins to bring a word of hope, a word of faith, and a word of love. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22, we read, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. I am the Lord, and when I am hallowed in you before their eyes, verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from your unfilthiness, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you." And you see baptism, and you see the Holy Spirit, and the promises of being born again, and of a new heart. But how will God accomplish this? How is God going to do it? And so in the life of the Son of Man, Ezekiel, God puts his hand upon him and takes him in the spirit and gives to him a vision. Now remember that this is a vision. Remember that the Lord God is giving him this vision to see it, to interpret it, and then preach it, not only then to the people of Jerusalem who are in exile, but also to us this morning on a Pentecost Sunday in light of seven people who have made their profession of faith. And Ben-Hadam is taken into a valley, a dry valley, likely the Mediterranean valley, filled with white sand and blue, crystal blue skies, dry and hot. And he takes Ezekiel and he walks him back and forth. And everywhere he looks, he sees bones, dry bones, very dry bones, bleached, absolutely white. Many bones, a pile of bones. So children, what would you think if you were walking in the forest or if you were walking along a trail and you found a little skeleton, say, of a squirrel or a possum or a raccoon? Well, you would think that that animal is dead. You would think that that animal has been dead for a long time. You would think that it is rotted away, that something was once alive, but now it's dead. And that's what Ezekiel is given to see, that something that was large, vibrant, and really then if we go through the story, we realize that what this is a battlefield. And the losers have been left in desecration. And there is nothing worse for an Old Testament Jew than to be left unburied. You know what this reminds us of? It reminds us the days of Elijah and in the days of Jehu and Jezebel. And Jezebel who tried to tempt Jehu. But Elijah had prophesied that the dogs would eat her bones and the birds would pick her flesh. And the dogs would lick up her blood, and that's exactly what happened. God cursed her in her death. She died in curse and was left in that curse. This is what's happened to the people of God. This is what's happened to the army of the Lord God. They have been routed, first by the Assyrians and now by the Babylonians. And all of their bones have been left to rot left to be bleached by the sun, left in their curse. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses, speaking to Israel, knowing how hard their hearts would be, prophesied of this day. And he said, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies, and you will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. And you will become a thing of horror to the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away." Food for the wildlife, the men of God, the young people of God, the warriors. Jeremiah talks about the horror of it. People walk by and they're horrified. This is the people of God. This is the people of David. These are the people who were supposed to be blessed in the covenant. These are the people who were the richest nation on the world, in the world, sorry, in the days of Solomon, and this, because they rejected the grace of God. They refused to live by grace. They grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And God would not be mocked. And so he walks into the hopeless house of Israel. And then God says something very interesting. God says, "Ben-Adam, Ezekiel, I want you to answer this question for me. Can these dry bones live?" Now, if we would just take this as a rhetorical question, we go, "Of course not." Back to our little thing. If we see a little skeleton of a raccoon or a squirrel in the forest, we don't expect that there's anything we could do to make that skeleton come to life again. Because it's not just the bones. There's no sinew connecting the bones to the bones. And then there's no organs, no flesh around the bones. And then there's no skin around the bones. All of that's gone. It can't live because it doesn't have the breath of life in him. But Ezekiel is a man of God. He is the Son of Man who points to the Son of Man, and his theology is good, and he knows that God is omniscient. He knows everything. Oh, Lord God, you know. He knows that God is omnipotent. There's nothing that God can't do. Oh, Lord God, you know. You're doing something with me. You're talking to me today because you want to do something, and I'm open for it. Why is that, beloved? Because he is in the Lord, in that valley of dry bones, in the Spirit of the Lord. And he walks then in that faith, "Oh Lord God, you know." And so God says to him, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Can you imagine? You found that little skeleton and then you would prophesy. "Oh, little raccoon, get up. Oh, little squirrel, get up. Oh, little possum, get up." We know that that's fantasy. We know that that can't happen. Logic comes to the abyss and turns back. But faith comes to the abyss and says, "I can do this. We can believe this. We can see that something great is going to happen. Surely, says the Lord, I will cause breath to enter into you, and I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord." Now, what the Lord does actually is he reverses the deterioration process. So when all of these men in the army died, first the skin went, then the flesh was eaten by animals, and it rotted away, then the sinews disappeared, and all was left with the bones. Now God says, "I am going to undo that, and I'm going to remake these bones into living, breathing humanity. And I'm going to do it, Ezekiel, by you prophesying, by you preaching that the breath of life would come in to these bones. Surely I will cause the breath to enter into you, and you shall live." "So I prophesied," he said, "and as I was commanded." He went by faith. He went in the Spirit of the Lord. He does this thing which is ridiculous. It seems nonsensical. Why would we do this? You know, sometimes we who live by the doctrine of election and reprobation, we go, why do we preach? They call it hyper-Calvinism. If God wants to save people, he can save people. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to preach. We preach because he commands. You evangelize because he commands. because that's the way the Spirit works. We talked about it last winter when we talked about it. It was all snow out there and ice out there. We wouldn't go put grass seed out over the snow, but that's exactly what we need to do. No matter what it seems to us, as illogical as it seems to us, let's trust the Lord. And so Ezekiel does what he is called to do, and he heard a noise, and the bones began to rattle. And that heap of bones now turns into row upon row of skeletons. And now the sinews, the tendons, and the ligaments now join bone to bone, from the toe bone to the top of the neck bone. It's all there. And then the Lord God puts the organs and the lungs and the heart and the muscular system, and all of it is there. And then he covers it with skin. And now we can see one man different from another man. But they're laying there. And after we hear the rattling of the bones, it's still deathly quiet. Does that remind you of anything? Does it remind you how the first Adam, Chadam, which literally means man, how the first man was created? God formed him out of the earth, and he was still. He had eyes, but he couldn't see. He had ears, but he couldn't hear. He had a heart that didn't beat. He had legs, but he couldn't walk. Not until the Lord God breathed breath in him. So one more Hebrew word today, ruach. And the word ruach means breath or spirit or wind. And the context tells us. So all through this chapter, you're reading winds and spirits and breath, but it's ruach all over the place. And the Lord God says, I want you to prophesy to the spirits. I want you to call the spirit from the four corners of the earth. We're not talking about a paganistic, that there's spirits, four different spirits from the four corners of the earth. It reminds us of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. And from all around the earth, the Holy Spirit comes now and concentrates and focuses his attention, and now there is breath. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. But it's not enough, beloved, that this army would now stand up, which they do, and that it's a vast army, it's a community. It's a community of all Israel. Notice that Ezekiel uses that word, and God uses that word. He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. All of them from the days of the fall of Assyria. All of them from that exile. And then this exile brought together so that Psalm 133 is made new and fresh. How blessed it is when brothers dwell together in unity. There God commands the blessing. He's bringing them from all over the world. All of these Jews who have been scattered from all over, and he's going to bring them together, and he's going to bring them in the day of Ezra and Nehemiah, and he's going to change their hearts. We see the beginning of the days of Messiah. Ezekiel, from his position, is looking all the way through where we can go back and see the steps. But this is a remarkable thing. See, it's not enough that these men come to life. Remember what we read? That God is going to plant these people back into the promised land, and he's going to give them a new heart. He's going to give them a new spirit. He's going to baptize them. He's going to wash them. Beloved, that's what happened to these seven people. They were dry bones. So Ephesians 2 says, I was dry bones. You were dry bones. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. We were without hope in the world. And then the Lord said, preach. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to bring our death and our sin and our shame. Goes into the grave. Becomes like those dry bones. Resurrects from the dead. Ascends into heaven. Sends the Holy Spirit. So that these seven young people and all of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not just alive. It's not that we can walk around and go play golf or wash the car or go to work tomorrow. But beloved, we believe. And that's the difference. That's the hope that we need. So when God puts the ruach, the breath of air, into Chadam, the first time, he has the image of God. Losing the image of God, he needs a new heart. So now God breathes the breath of God into these beautifully reformed skeletons, and they come alive by the power of Almighty God. Isaiah saw it, and he said, "In that day, I will make a covenant with the house of Israel, and I will put my law on their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Now, the first interpretation of the vision is clear. Say to the house of Israel, I know you feel hopeless, but I am going to take you from the hopelessness of a situation where you feel like dry bones and you're not alive. I am going to bring you back into the promised land. I am going to make that land flow with milk and honey, and I am going to bless you, and the Son of Man is going to come. On another level, we see the power of Jesus Christ, the one who will die for his people, bones, and hang on the cross, go into the grave, and live again. But he doesn't need the Holy Spirit to do that in the way you and I do. He says, I will lay down my life for my sheep, and I pick it up again. We see that same thing in Jesus. Remember, he went to Mary and Martha? Almost in the same way that God went to Ezekiel. Can these dry bones live, Ezekiel? Well, Lord, you know. Martha, do you believe that your dead brother Lazarus will live again? I know that if you had come, he wouldn't have died. Do you believe on the resurrection and the life, Martha? Mary, do you believe? And that comes to all of us in John 11. Do we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, them bones? Them bones, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. Breathe on me breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou dost do. That's life. That's living. So that the third application is the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when all of these Israelites from all over the Roman Empire, Parthians, and Cretans, and Egyptians, and Romans, and on it goes. All hear the good news of the gospel, the undoing of Babel, and they hear, and the breath of God comes upon them, and cut to the heart, they say, brothers, what do we need to do? Be baptized, repent, and believe, for the promise is for you and your children, and all who are afar off. Beloved, hear the word of the Lord. This doesn't happen without Christmas. The Son of God becomes Ben Adam and takes on human flesh. It doesn't happen without Good Friday. And we celebrate that with the beautiful music of the times. And then up from the grave, he arose with the marvel of Easter. And then we've just celebrated the Ascension. Crown him with many crowns. But it's good, he said, that I go away. And we've just done John 17. And if I go, I prepare a place for you. I am praying for you. I pray, Father, you leave them in this world. Prepare yourselves, for I will send the Holy Spirit. And now the Church of Jesus Christ goes boldly into all the world by the power of the Spirit, into this vast empire of dry bones, preaching faith and hope and love. The greatest of these is love, by the power of the Spirit. Preaching without the Spirit is powerless. And spiritless preaching is powerless. But when the preacher is led by the Spirit and the Spirit blesses the preacher, well, then seven young people say, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I believe he's risen from the dead, and they will not be put to shame. Do you believe? Then you will not be put to shame, and you will live, and you will do the things that God has done. This is the power of Pentecost. This is the beauty of this special day. And what a day for us, and we can celebrate the operation of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of covenant children. And we believe, don't we, that he is going to do a great work in our communities, whether in Charlottetown or whether here. But we believe that many will come to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through the foolishness of preaching, by the power of the Spirit. Now hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Father, send your Spirit. Send your Spirit into our hearts and lives. Help us, Father, when we're struggling and we're not sure. Help us, Father, when we don't know what to say. Help us, Father, believe that you can do the unbelievable, that you can do the impossible. You can bring the dead to life and you can bring the faithless to faith. Use us, Lord, in some way, shape, or form. Use us together as the people of God. And bless us in this Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, this is a really special day that none of us deserved. But Father in heaven, we love you even more now that we will leave this building than when we walked in. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew. In Jesus' name, amen.